So Karen and I were having some conversations over the last week about the difference between being on vacation and doing what we're doing, living a long-term travel lifestyle. And we came up with a handful of things that we think would be interesting to talk about this week. So let's talk about it.
Welcome to From Someplace New, the long-term travel podcast where Karen Bernhardt and John Sumple discuss their hows and whys, lows and highs, and lessons learned while living abroad.
Welcome to episode 38 of From Someplace New. I'm John Sumple.
And I'm John Sumple. Oh, wait, I'm Karen Bernhardt.
Whoa, you threw me there for a second. I thought there was an echo.
I wanted to see if I had your attention.
So we're doing something a little bit different this week.
Very different.
Yes, because we've been having a lot of challenges with us both doing the podcast from the same room because we have yet to stay at a place that has an ideal scenario for recording. So wood floors, high ceilings, a lot of bare walls, which creates a ton of echo.
So what's the solution, John? What have you come up with?
So we're using Squadcast and we're recording online. So Karen is in another room.
I am in the kitchen.
And I am in the bedroom.
And while I'm in the kitchen, there's a towel on the floor and a towel hanging off the door. John, what's your space like?
Oh, I have pillows up against the mirrors to try to reduce the echo. I have a nice towel on top of the desk that I am working from. So whatever we can do to help reduce the echo a little bit is going to help for sure.
And how are we doing? Are you confident that this is going to be a solution going forward?
I have absolutely no idea.
Oh,
we may get done with this podcast and go, oh yeah, that didn't work. We just spent the last 45 minutes talking and we have nothing to work with for this week.
Ouch. Well, so we'll giving it an earnest try here.
We're giving it the old college try. So, you know, to kind of move into the best thing that happened to us this week, to me, to you this week, I would say this, trying this is going to be something hopefully that will make my life easier on the edit. So yeah, that's I'm so excited. So excited.
Well, John, okay, so you're super hopeful. And maybe what will happen is when you do the marketing plug for the podcast, if after your editing session, it proved to be easier for you, you can tout that and like share that with our dear, dear audience.
So I can do that right now. I can do while we're doing this recording, I can say, you know what? That didn't work. What a bummer. So we had to re-record it. Or that was so awesome. It actually friggin' worked. And it sounds absolutely amazing.
Woo!
We're so happy.
Let's see.
Let's see what happens. Engineer. So yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll give it the old 1-2, the old what for, and we'll give it a go, as they say here in the UK. Let's give it a go.
Give it a go.
Yeah. So Squadcast and having the ability to have less time editing is going to be a huge plus if it works. So that's the best thing that I'm hoping will happen to me this week. How about you?
Okay. For me, it would be I had two very rewarding, I was going to say sessions, and that sounds so formal and ridiculous, conversations and situations with girlfriends this past week, which were really like needed and very rewarding. I had a one-on-one call with a girlfriend, a dear friend in South Florida, and it was just exactly what I needed. Like it felt great to like just speak early and have that time. And then I don't always join this, but we also, there's a group of us girls, again, friends from South Florida that try to do a Zoom call every Thursday night. And this same past week, I joined that call on Thursday night and that was awesome. It made me realize like, even though sometimes you're kind of in a slump or you're like just, you know, I'm not feeling it, a little low energy, like make the effort and do that, like have that quality time with your friends, with your family during these pandemic times where it is Zoom calls, it is, you know, it's virtual exchanges, make the effort because you'll feel better afterward. So that's it.
So to make a long story short, you had two good calls last week.
Yeah. So yeah. Ooh, a page out of John's book to make a short story really long and involved. Yeah. No, that it was rewarding chats with girlfriends.
Okay. Very good.
Thanks.
So before we jump into the episode and the focus on travel as a vacation versus ongoing travel, let's talk a little bit about the COVID scenarios. So what's the COVID scenario?
Well, what I had seen was that our dear First Minister of Scotland will be announcing potential new restrictions and or just continuing where we are on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So it looks like Edinburgh is going to stay where it's at. So five levels, we're at level 3, 0 through 4. Potentially west of us, Glasgow could go into the highest tier, which is everything closed but essential businesses. Doesn't affect us, but it's, you know, something that's happening very near to us. Yeah. So I honestly, the way I'm seeing it is it's just going to continue the way it's been for the last couple of weeks for us.
Yeah, but the news there is heading in the wrong direction.
Yeah. What I had read was that the cases, they call it a circuit breaker here, they're not dropping as dramatically as they'd hoped. And the intention was to get serious now so that people could spend time together during the holidays for Christmas. And yeah, we just don't know.
Well, we're going to hope for the best. And I guess not to say that we're thinking negatively, but if you expect the worst, at least you know that you might be prepared mentally for it. And the fact that there are so many takeaway food places, you can order food in if we need to be. This place is much bigger than the one we were in Bariloche the last time we were in a lockdown scenario. So we'll be able to survive here, I think, quite comfortably.
Yeah, no one should really worry about us. We'll be just fine. You know, right. We may be home by 4:30 when it gets dark and the vampires come out. So we are home, you know, cozy in our flat, ordering food. That's basically what's happening for us.
And on a little aside there with the, you know, getting dark early. So like on the weekends, you know, when you take it a little bit slow and you kind of get going and you get out the door, we go and get a brunch around 10:30, 11 o'clock. We get out from having our brunch. We've eaten as late as like noon and get out by 1:30. You know, by 1:30, within an hour and a half, it's starting to get dark again.
It's dusk.
So, yeah. So it's crazy how short the days are getting, you know, as we speak. I mean, it's dark by 4:30, 4:45 now.
Yeah, it's a mood. It's definitely a feeling. It's getting cold, much colder here. It's, you know, rainier, blustier, and it's dark that early. So it may be time for us to move on to warmer, brighter climes, something we're considering. Yeah.
I think we mentioned potentially looking at Portugal as a possibility to get a little bit warmer. I know that I was pushing for that, and you were resisting a little bit because you're totally digging. And now you're kind of like, yeah, we may be stuck here because within the next day or two or three, it could all change. And we're committed here until December 5th. So anything could happen over the course of the next 3 weeks. We have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah. Like you said, it changes literally. And I'm using the word literally every day as far as what's possible and what's shifted here and elsewhere. So yeah, that's the life of, onward travelers as we are. But yeah, we are going to pivot and make this conversation about all the amazing benefits of traveling long-term versus a once-a-year vacation, which is what most of us do before you embark on something like this. It's that one big vacation every year.
Yeah, and we've talked about it a little bit, you know, in bits and pieces before, and that there's a huge difference between the two. And I think we also have talked a lot about mindsets, and our mindset is very, very different today versus when we were planning vacations, or whether it was going away for a weekend, going away for a week or two, your mindset is very, very different.
Absolutely is. Well, your mindset's different, and then what you get out of it is quite different.
Yes, absolutely. So why don't you kick it off for us, Karen? What are some of the perks of long-term travel versus the once-a-year vacations?
Right. Well, okay, right off the bat, it's an ongoing thing, right? There's no end date. There's no feeling of, and I know we've mentioned this before, that sense of like it's ending, right? The night before, where it's like, okay, the next day we have to get up early, get to the airport and go back home. And it's that vacation letdown. Like, hopefully it was an amazing trip. And it's like, wow, now we have to go back to quote unquote reality.
Right.
You don't have that. Like, no. This is ongoing.
It's a big difference between that mindset of planning for a window of time and trying to maximize during that window. And it's hard to explain because not a lot of people can say, oh, I can draw the comparisons between the two. We can. And we can definitely say that we can't anticipate looking forward to going somewhere and knowing that there are a lot of things that we could do while we're there, but there's no hurry. We're not looking to tick boxes within a matter of days or even a week or two. We know that we have usually a minimum of a month, which gives us, you know, 3 weekends minimum to go and explore and have the opportunity to immerse ourselves as much as we can. Like we've been here in Scotland since the end of July. So we've spent a lot of time integrating into the local neighborhoods that we've stayed at, as well as exploring the country.
Yeah, that's a huge point, is the pacing, the rhythm of this. Like you said, John, you don't put pressure on yourself to have an amazing time in a set period of time, right? It's mm-hmm. not like we have 11 days and this is the itinerary and we have to make it amazing, you know? And God forbid that you're feeling a little bit flat or you're having a stomach ache or a headache or anything else. And then the guilt and the pressure around that, because dang it, this is our vacation and we're spending a lot of money and we've been anticipating this and I'm not feeling 100%. Like, you don't, none of that, right?
Right.
You can just let things unfold. You can do things to match your mood, your energy levels, your interests, what have you. It just unfolds naturally, right?
The weather too.
Yeah.
How many times have people, you know, raise your hands out there. Everybody raise your hands. How many times have you gone on vacation where you were impacted by the weather? A lot of people are raising their hands. And the reason why is because that's one of the biggest things that you can't plan for. And micro planners might go, well, you know, if the weather's bad, here's the, you know, the 10 things that we could do to maximize our time, you know, in a location. You and I are not like that. We usually don't plan our days way out ahead of time. We might plan to say this weekend we're going to go out and go somewhere. And we might not make that decision until a day or two before where we're going to go. But we don't sit there and go like, oh, plan B is this, because we really don't need to do that.
Right. You're not micromanaging the process.
Right.
You know, it just is that aspect of letting it unfold and just, it's more organic, of course, what's going on, because it's not, you're not forcing anything.
Another big plus is that there's the spontaneity, the serendipitous moments, the happy accidents, whether that's walking down the street like we were last weekend and said, hey, let's pop into this museum, see if we can get in there. We did that twice. We went to two different museums just based on being out in front of them and going online and seeing that they had availability to register, sign up, because you have to do that ahead of time. We were able to do it, sit standing in the street and then walk in the door 5-10 minutes later.
That's huge, John. I feel like that's such a big part of this, is just the flow of things and allowing things to just pop up or to evolve.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and that's one of the things that I think that we really flow well with when we're driving around, you know, renting a car.
Oh, it's, for
where,
sure.
Where does that road go? And part of the thing, and we've shared this before, is several times when we've been out driving around and kind of exploring, we've had no idea where we're going to stay that night. It's more a matter of, well, we'll figure that out when we get there. We've been very fortunate that in pretty much all of our travels, when we've done those things, we just say like, well, let's see where this leads us. And then we'll figure out where we're going to stay that night.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to the mindset thing that happens mm-hmm. with us. And that mindset, we are rewarded by that again and again. I feel like it's practically a mantra for us now. Everything always works out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's an energy thing too. I think if you have everything written down and it's in a folder and you have all these boxes that you're ticking, you're not going to have those experiences. You're just not. You're looking to finish, you know, what's on your list and check all those boxes. So done, successful day, where we don't do that. We look at it as, let's see where the day leads us and we'll have some happy accidents along the way. And the reason why we can do that is we know that we have several days of flexibility to do that. And the other advantage is that we do talk to people locally who can make recommendations. And when you're only in some place for a week, you don't get that luxury.
Yeah. Yeah. You did your research ahead of time, or you, yeah, just that. It was Google searches and things, right? And maybe did some, you know, read some Yelp reviews and that type of thing. But that's never going to be as insightful as talking to locals and getting guidance and recommendations from them.
Yeah. How many times since we've been here, really, I guess, you know, we did 2 weeks of quarantine, and then that first week when we went out, I think every restaurant or bar that we went to, we were asking people about things to do, and we got a whole bunch of ideas.
That is such a huge point, that you are able to get guidance from locals and insiders as you go, right? That you might not have access to otherwise. It's happening on the ground as you go.
Yeah, and we do that frequently.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of conversations that we have. And part of it is telling our story, and people are fascinated by our story. And then as we engage in those conversations, it often leads to discussions about, oh, have you been here? Have you done this? Or what have you done? Have you, you know, have you been here? And some of the things that we've done, on, especially in Scotland, have been a result of things that people have told us to do.
So, John, kind of along the lines with that, I was going to say that when we can revisit coffee shops, kind of pre-pandemic, when we would go to coffee shops more often to work, but also now ongoing restaurants where you can get to know the staff and, like you said, have some really meaningful conversations, get some insight, get some guidance from them. But also, ultimately, the biggest perk is forge some friendships because of that repetition, that you have the time to go back to those places and, you know, build some familiarity and some context with the locals that you wouldn't be able to do on a vacation.
Yeah. And when you're in a place long enough, and we've had this happen in Mexico, we had it happen here, we had it happen, just almost every place we've been to, we've gone to restaurants, coffee shops, even having our hair cut more than once. By the same person when we've been in a location for a long time, and you forge those bonds, you get those insights. And I'll bring up Alex again. Alex gave us some great ideas of things to do, and we've done those, and big thumbs up as a result of, and Alex, the guy that cut my hair the first week that we were off lockdown after a...
You all know Alex, right?
Everybody knows Alex, been following this,
and now you know Alex.
Alex at Rag & Bone. Shout out to Rag & Bone for the haircut.
Keeping John looking trim and good.
And so the North Coast 500 and going down to Carlisle and into the Lake region or the Lake District, those were things that Alex recommended. So those are, we might not have done them if somebody hadn't recommended them, because we always look at it as the locals are going to tell us where are the best things to go versus just tourist stuff.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many things we've done that I don't know if we would have ever pinpointed this in a Google search or in a, you know, Pinterest board or what have you, researching an area, like the top 10 things to do in an area. These are like the 20, 30 items down, but ultimately I would like to say we're probably more rewarding than those over tourist attractions that are touted as the must-dos, where you can go so much deeper and have such a richer experience than that.
If you were to look at somebody coming to Edinburgh for a week, the things that they would do, there's only a handful of things that they would be able to go out and see. If you were staying in Scotland for 2 weeks, you might do 3 days in Edinburgh and then kind of wander around. But we've had the luxury of being in the location amongst the locals, getting into the kind of rhythms of the day, creating, you know, spots that we want to go back to and meeting people along the way and in really enjoying that time in those spaces, meeting those peoples and forging those friendships.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a big arc over that is that it's more immersive, right?
Right.
It's more integrative because we're doing these things and we're in, well, the rhythms, again, the pacing, but that we're a part of something day in and day out. We're not just passing through.
Right.
It's so different.
So when you think about it as a, you know, when you're planning a vacation, and we've done this too, like when we went to Italy, we lined a lot of stuff up before we went there because we were told if you don't make reservations ahead of time, you're going to be waiting in long lines. So we there were certain things that we did when we made reservations so that we could see as much as we could in the amount of time that we were there, which is, you know, we were, I think, 4 days in Rome, 4 days in Tuscany, 4 days in Florence, and 4 days in, or three days in Verona.
Right.
So we had to pack it all in and we had a plan for that. And, you know, we looked at that as like, oh, now that we've tasted Italy, we want to go back. So there's that burning desire to kind of go back to some places. There are people out there that will plan vacations and say, my vacation every year is I want to go to this tropical resort with a book in hand, chill out by the pool or the beach, read, have a few cocktails, and just relax, unwind, and that's fine.
And if you know yourself and that's what's ultimately relaxing and nurturing to you, that's fine, right? Not our jam, but...
Right, but I would also look at that as why not do that all the time? So if you have the ability to work from anywhere and take that beach lifestyle thing to where it's not just a week to recharge your batteries, if you have the ability to work remotely, go and experience your toes in the sand as part of your day-to-day existence for as long as you want that to be.
How exciting is that, you guys? If you know that's what feeds you and now it's part of your week to week, month to month, it's not just an aberration. It's not just, you know, a once a year treat. It's part of your new normal. That's amazing.
And the number of people who are doing searches on work from anywhere locations and opportunities have skyrocketed.
Yeah, huge.
You know, so you look at like there's the one place that has gained tremendous popularity over the course of the last several months has been Tulum, Mexico. And it is primarily because for North Americans, it's very close and it's very easy to get to Cancun and then another hour and a half down to Tulum. That's become like a major hotspot because people are like, why wouldn't I want to be in the beach, hanging out at the beach? And right now, Mexico is open. So people are looking at that as an opportunity to, you know, to literally work on the beach. That way you can, you know, work every day from a tropical location and that's your jam. You know, that's what you love. So yeah, why not look for ways to do that as opposed to planning a once a year vacation to that destination?
Totally agree. So there's a few other items I kind of wanted to go through. Is that okay? Cool? Yeah. So, okay. How about this whole aspect of building on a location that you are, that you've been in or surrounding, kind of getting a feel for it and then expanding on that. Okay. So what I mean by that is, for example, I'm thinking of some areas that we've been in over the last couple of years, San Miguel de Allende in Mexico, Mexico City, Lima, Peru. We started out, did our research, kind of had an idea of where we thought we wanted to be, picked out an Airbnb location. And then as we were there, out and about exploring, getting to know more, realizing that we were going to spend more time there, we're more strategic about the second location within that region.
Let's step back from that a little bit more, is that you, because we're not locked into going home, we can say in any location that we're at, as long as our visa allows, that we can stay there as long as we want. So if you have a 90-day or 180-day window and you originally plan to be there for a month and you say, you know what, I really, really like this place, let's stay another month or two.
I can tell you that is the coolest feeling, those moments where we've realized, like, you know what, this is really speaking to us and we're really enjoying this. Let's stay longer. Mm-hmm. And did that, made a decision, you know, on a Sunday night, like, let's do that. Let's stay here another month and let's be in this area. Let's be in this mm-hmm. neighborhood because we've been through there and we know that's where we want to be. It's awesome.
Yeah, you spend the time, you spend a month in a place and you get to know where the good spots are. And you have, it is interesting too, because almost every place that we've selected is based on looking at an Airbnb map. We really don't know what it's going to look like until we get there. For the most part, we've selected well.
Yeah, we've done really well.
Yeah, yeah. And there's been a couple of places where when you're looking at the map, they look like they're really close to downtown, but they are a little bit longer than you thought. Still, I think the longest walk we've ever had is maybe a mile out of Quipa. Right, in the first place in San Miguel, we're a little bit, you know, longer, but not that bad. Mexico City, we used the metro and got around. Same with Santiago. So Santiago and Mexico City, we used the mass transit system to our advantage. It was great.
Yeah. So, but I think the point too, as strategic as we try to be, as far as doing a little bit of research, understanding what the area is, like what is the, you know, the appeal of different pockets within the city, and always trying to be, you know, walkability, accessibility to transit is a plus. There's still that element of you don't know till you're there. Right. So mm-hmm. then we're there, we see it firsthand, and we're like, you know what? Hey, if we're staying here longer, this is where we want to be. And you can do that. It's so great to have that sense of control and know that you can like evolve and do that in your travels.
No, it is having the flexibility to kind of pick and choose when and where you go is pretty, pretty nice. And if you're a planner, you can plan things out. What we're saying though, is that you do have tremendous latitude when you know that you can be in a country for 90 days, for 180 days. That makes a huge difference in what your rhythms and pacing are going to be. You know, part of it too is that we've sacrificed, but we haven't done all of the touristy things that we could have done in a lot of the places that we've been to, because we chose to spend more time as kind of local residents, you know, kind of immersing ourselves. Yeah, it's been very purposeful. And we find that much more rewarding and enriching, kind of becoming part of the neighborhood.
Yeah, I feel like we've done a pretty good job of like mixing and matching. Like there are certain things that you almost feel like, well, we have to do this, you know, like this is such an appeal with this area. And I would say there's only been a few things where we've done and we're like, this was so touristy that we could have skipped it. Not bad, right? Like mm-hmm. I will absolutely say our most rewarding experiences were the items that were not the top five things on a brochure.
Sure.
Right.
Like mentioning the metro, using the metro systems in Mexico City and in Santiago. That was something that opened up the whole city to us. And if you're on vacation or in a vacation mindset, you're probably not thinking about how can I maximize my time using the subway. And as soon as you do it a few times, it makes it really simple and it opens the entire city up to you. So that's another thing, is just having the time to learn the lay of the land is huge.
And just, well, and broadening your potential in an area. Yeah. All right. So the next point I kind of wanted to get into, this is going to probably get into a little bit more of the emotions behind what we're doing, the impetus, the psychology behind what we're doing. But I would venture to say that locals treat you a little differently when you reveal what you're doing and that you're a slow traveler and kind of, you know, what our path is. They see you a little bit differently. They respond to you differently. I think there's almost a sense of, they're like, there's a pride thing that comes in when they're like, that we chose to be here and mm-hmm. we're moving toward getting the most we can out of the area. And we're curious about you right now, speaking to you and your recommendations and your insights. And I don't know, it creates a sense of rapport that let's just talk about that. That's like really valuable.
We've had so many conversations with people as a result, because one of the first things people ask us, no matter what country we've been in, is, are you from the United States?
Flying, where are you visiting from?
Right. And we always kind of share, yeah, we're from Seattle, from the US, but we have been traveling for the last X number of months, years, whatever time frame it was, which always starts a conversation. And we always say to the people that we're talking to, our objective is to immerse ourselves into the local community versus just, you know, passing through and hitting all the tourist hotspots. So where would you recommend that we go? Where would you eat if you were going out to dinner? What is like the places that you would recommend, or where do the locals hang out that we can go and experience those things? Because you're going to get a better flavor for an area. Perfect examples was when we were in Quito and we were roaming around that one night and we found that, what was it? The bookstore cafe, I think it was. And they had the dancing.
Oh yeah.
And that was just like a happy accident that you wouldn't have planned for. That you wouldn't have known about it unless you were roaming around the neighborhood, which is one of the things that we do.
Right, right.
Found a real cool place, went in there, the music and the singing and the dancing was amazing. It was so cool. It was a cultural, there was not a single tourist in that place at all. Not a one. All locals. And it was so cool.
For sure. The way things can just unfold that way. But then also, like we mentioned, right, is that just getting insight from those locals. And I mentioned this, the pride aspect. So like conversation 101, right? Like tips as far as like people love to talk about themselves, right? We know mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. So people love to talk about themselves no matter where you are. And then also people for the most part like to talk about where they're from and what is cool about where they're from. And when right. you're there as a eager, curious visitor in the capacity that we are, even more so, they're like, wow, like it's awesome how much people want to like introduce us to the things that are most meaningful to them.
Yeah, their pride shines through.
Wow, like you're here for a month, 2 months, like these are the things that you need to do. Like, I want you to experience this. And it's almost like I want you to be able to share. Well, okay, they know that, you know, we're probably taking photos, we're taking videos. The idea that we could bring that back and share that with other people, that now they might have a sense of this area because of that.
And we definitely felt that more, at least I think so, in South America.
Yeah, for sure.
And for Lima, we've mentioned this before too. People are like, why are you staying in Lima for as long as you are? And we said, that's kind of our thing. That's what we're doing. We're staying in locations for an extended period of time. And most people are like, no one comes to Lima and spends a month in Lima. And Lima's an awesome city.
Okay. But that just made me think of something too, John, where there's been a few incidences where Lima, for example, where we are sharing with them, as outsiders coming to this area for the first time, here are all the things that we're experiencing and seeing and excited about. And they're almost like, oh, wow. In a weird way, they almost like appreciate their area because right. now they're seeing it from an outsider's eyes, yeah. right? Yeah. It kind of goes both ways.
Yeah, we've been to places where there are no tourists, where the locals will go in. Beaches, the one beach city that we went to in Ecuador, there were no tourists there. We have been to in Lima when we went out to, I'm forgetting the name of the area, that one neighborhood on the point, no tourists there. They're just not tourist places. This is where the locals go. This is where the locals might go and spend a weekend, you know, to get out of the city. So having the ability to connect with people, because you're there long enough, we do go to some of the same restaurants and have conversations with people. And they love it when they see us coming back. They really do. They really enjoy the fact that we've chosen to come back to their establishment. You build a rapport, you get to ask a lot of questions, you get to learn a little bit more about the individuals and their community and what they love about their city. And that has been a huge, huge asset for us, is to engage with locals who are truly passionate about where they live.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They interact with you differently when you're not transactional.
Well, the simple thing there is just asking them about, you know, getting them to talk about what they love versus saying, oh, I'm going here, here, here. There is that sense in a lot of places. We've seen that in more of the touristy places that they have this expectation that you're just moving through. But when you start to engage with them and say, tell me what you love about your city, it's different.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm just like having this flood of like a little bit of a memory lane as we're going through this podcast, talking about some of these things and just how meaningful that is. But I think we could kind of wrap this up, that whole idea of last but not least, mm-hmm. but it's time. That sure. is the biggest thing. You have time on your side when you're doing this. Your ongoing time to explore an area, time to be a part of it, time to grow from it. There's not the pressure of it. It's going to end in 7 days, 11 days. You have time.
It allows for the impression that you get from a location to be greater, because you're not just thinking about the things that you did. You're thinking about the people that you met. You're thinking about the cultural experiences as opposed to just the tourist things. You know, when you have the opportunity to, you know, go and have a meal in the middle of a rural community, very rural community in Peru, and, you know, break bread with a family that owns a farm, doesn't speak English at all, and you have to do your broken, you know, Spanglish to kind of get through the conversations, that creates a completely different appreciation and connection to that area and an indelible memory that will never go away. In fact, it's things that makes us want to go back to some of the places that we've been to, a strong pull to get back to those areas that speak the loudest to us. And I think as we travel more and more over the course of the next months and years, we're going to find certain places that we're going to be like, you know, that really meant so much. I can't wait to get back there. As much as we're looking forward as to where do we go next, there is going to be a pull to some of the places that we've been to say, yeah, we have to go back there. There's a piece of us that's still there.
It's already happened for sure. Yeah. It's been 2+ years. What was it? 2 in August, late July, early August, right? August.
We left Seattle on July 31st, arrived in Mexico on August 1st.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, just that luxury of time and just being able to go to dig deeper and to create more meaningful experiences and forge, you know, special friendships and all that, that you can do when time is on your side and you're not rushing through an 11-day itinerary. It's huge.
And we've gained dozens of friends as a result of this, you know, people that we've connected with on social media, people that we have phone calls with and text messages with. It's been extremely enriching. It's something that is our lifestyle, and it's not a something that we're looking forward to do for a snippet of time to kind of unwind or get away from it all. This is, you know, it's creates a vibrant approach to life for us.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that would be interesting to kind of, we can truly wrap it up with this, is that when you're planning a vacation, you're usually like, I know that I'm going to be blocked off from everything for 2 weeks and I'm going to be not working. I'm going to be unplugged. I'm going to just relax and enjoy my time away. Where we have been traveling for almost 30 months, we have not gone on any vacations during that time. We've had a couple of times where we've had 3 or 4 day weekends. We went to Oaxaca. That was kind of like a week and a half, but we still worked a little bit during that, but not a lot. Yeah. But we haven't had any of that, a 2 week block. And the main reason why is every weekend when we're not in lockdown or restricted, every weekend is kind of like our opportunity to get out and experience the locations that we're staying at.
There are many vacations within our travel lifestyle, wouldn't you say? Yeah.
So I feel no burning desire to say, hey, we need a 2 week break. I don't feel that way.
Yeah. Cause I think a lot of times you're so eager for that vacation because you're a little bit burned out and you're like, I have to just like walk away from my work and not have to think about that for that amount of time. And I feel like that's different too with this. Like you don't get that saturation burnout feeling where it's like, I have to have this trip or I'm going to lose it.
Cause another raise your hand moment for people out there listening. How many people have said, you know, after an amazing trip that they've planned, that as soon as they get back home or maybe even on the flight back, they're thinking about what am I going to do next? Where am I going to go next? And start thinking about and planning about what your next trip is going to be, because you need to have a reason to, or something to look forward to and a way to engage your mind in planning for that next opportunity to travel.
Guess what? When you're doing this lifestyle, you have dozens and dozens of things to look forward to. Some things you're not even sure what they are, but you know something cool is around the corner. You just know it is because it's the way you're living your life.
Yeah. And it seems for us, again, with non-lockdown scenarios, every 4 to 6 weeks, we're thinking about where we might be going next. So it's not once a year planning for something and then having that, you know, transition getting back and wondering, what am I going to do next? For us, it is happening, it's happening 10 times a year for us.
Yeah, constant momentum. And I mentioned this before, too, you never feel stuck. There's no reason to ever feel like you're in a rut, ever, ever.
Right.
Like you keep moving. So yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like we got a little bit excited with this. Like we could have kept going. I mean,
it feels like we need to start traveling again because you get that mindset going. So maybe next week, by the time we record the next episode, we'll have a better idea of what's unfolding here in the UK and what our options might be to actually be onward travelers again.
Yeah. And we'll certainly let you all know. Yeah.
So this is a good place to wrap it all up, I think.
Yeah, wrap it up.
So if you like what you've heard, please, please, please do us a favor. Give us a 5-star rating, leave a comment, share with friends and family, post it on social media. We're really excited about what we're doing and getting more and more excited about it based on some of the things we're planning on over the course of the next several months. And we're really excited to bring those to you. I know it sounds like a long tease, and once we have it all dialed in, we'll share that with you. But we really cannot wait to crystallize some of the things that we're planning to help encourage people and give them a blueprint roadmap, if you will, to help them determine how I can do what you guys are doing. Because we don't want to hear people telling us anymore, I wish I could do what you guys were doing. I envy what you guys are doing. We want you to join us out here on the road. Do this too, because there are ways that you can.
Elbow to elbow, off we go.
Elbow to elbow? Is that like bumping fists?
Well, bumping elbow, because you can't
skipping through our travels together. Yeah, let's hop, skip, and jump our way across the world.
I don't know. We'll see how that goes. All right, cool.